Shabbos, Parshas Mishpatim. I'd like to share with you a couple of thoughts which are from the end of the parsha, not the part that's typically spoken about, but of course, Torah is big everywhere. Let me share with you a beautiful idea that I saw printed b'shem the Gra. Here in Parshas Mishpatim, all the Sholish Regalim are mentioned. The Sholish Regalim Tochek Libashana, Chag HaMatzos, Chag HaKotzir, the Chag HaOsif. It's interesting that Sukkos is referred to both here in Parshas Mishpatim and again in Parshas Kisisa as Chag HaOsif, the holiday which takes place at the time that the Tefillah is gathered in from the field. Later, in Parshas Amar and again in Parshas Re'eh, it is referred to by the popular name of Chag HaSukkos. It's referred to as Sukkos. The greater meaning to this, or the significance of it, fits with the Shitas HaGra, which is a Gra on Shir HaShirim. Let's learn that Gra on Shir HaShirim, and then we'll come back and learn the Gra here as on Chumash. The Gra on Shir HaShirim talks about the concept that the Sukkos that we sit in on the Chag HaSukkos are, according to Amar D'Amar, Neged Ananei HaKavod. There to remember the clouds of glory which surrounded Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. Most Mepharshim understand that this refers to the fact that the entire 40 years in the Midbar, the Ananei HaKavod protected Klal Yisrael. There are many difficulties with this. The Torah's Kasha, why such a Yom Tov should be observed in Tishrei instead of in Chodesh Nisan, where it belongs. The Kasha, why the Ananei HaKavod are remembered with a Yom Tov more than the Mon or the Be'er HaMayim. These three go together. Ananei HaKavod, Be'er, and Mon were in the source of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Why would the Ananei HaKavod have a special schus to have a Yom Tov connect them? Because of these questions and others, the Gra explains that Neged Ananei HaKavod does not mean the protection of the Ananei HaKavod at all. Instead, he says it refers to the Ananei HaKavod in the following instant. As we know, when Moshe Rabbeinu was up at Har Sinai, Klal Yisrael sinned with the Chet HaEgel. They were nezufim lifnei hamakom. The Shechina, which had resided among Klal Yisrael, was no longer among them. They were forgiven on the 10th day of Tishrei, Yom HaKippurim. And Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai on the 10th day. On the 11th of Tishrei, commanded Klal Yisrael to build a Mishkan. Klal Yisrael responded by bringing donations, Heviu Baboiker Baboiker, for 2 days. Those would be the 12th and 13th of Tishrei. On the 14th of Tishrei, the work began. The Chachmei Lev gathered and received their instructions as to how to build the Mishkan. And on the 15th of Tishrei, the actual physical work of building the Mishkan commenced. At that time, the Anan, here, not the Ananim, the clouds of glory, protected Klal Yisrael. But the Anan, which represented the Shekhinah, came back and resided among Klal Yisrael. Says the Gra, it is that return of the Ananei HaKavod on the 15th day of Tishrei with which the mitzvah of sitting in a sukkah on Sukkos is an observance. It observes that return of the Ananei HaKavod. As a matter of fact, the Gra says that on Yom Tov we say, Ata v'chartonu mikolo amim ahavta isanu v'ratzi savanu. Ata v'chartonu mikolo amim is keneged Chag HaPesach when Klal Yisrael was chosen. Ahavta isanu, the love of Hashem to Klal Yisrael, is a reference to Chag HaShavuos, the chuppah, the marriage with Klal Yisrael. V'ratzisa banu, ratzisa is a language of forgiveness. V'nirtze aloi l'chaper olav. Ratzisa banu refers to Chag HaSukkos, because Sukkos, the mitzvah of Sukkah on Sukkos, is a remembrance of the kapara and the return of the Ananei HaKavod. All of this is in the Gra on Shir HaShirim. We now return to Parshas Mishpatim. In Parshas Mishpatim and in Parshas Kisisa, in Parshas that was said prior to the Chet HaEgel, this Yom Tov is called Chag HaOsif. There was, as of yet, no mitzvah of sitting in a sukkah, because the mitzvah of sitting in a sukkah did not come until after the Chet HaEgel, and after the 15th day of Tishrei, when the Anan returned, it was something to remember. Therefore, here it's called Chag HaOsef. After the Chet HaEgel, the Parshas Emor and Re'eh is called Chag HaSukkos. It's also meduyek beautifully that as Chag HaMatzos in this week's parasha is mentioned, Shivas Yom Teich HaMatzos, it is mentioned that matzah should be eaten on Pesach. But when it mentions Chag HaOsef, it doesn't refer at all to the mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah. Because here, it was not yet part of the Yom Tov. It was a holy day, Chag HaOsef, but not yet Chag HaSukkos. A beautiful grah with Shitasai. So this is one idea here in the end of the parasha. I'd like to turn to a second concept, which is not well known. It really is a major concept in the writings of great Gedolei Klal Yisrael, but something that for some reason is barely taught. After Shishi in this week's parasha, we are told, that there would be a malach accompanying Klal Yisrael in the journey. And the Rebbeinu Shalom warns us, be careful with this malach, he won't forgive you. And somehow God's name is in this malach. Which malach is this? So Rashi tells us that it's a malach, Rabbi Seinu Amru Zu, and he has a malach, Mem Tes Tes, and Reish Vav Endanun. A malach, his name is the Gematria Shakai, the Gematria of Hashem's name, Rashi says, Shmi Bikirbai. Who is this malach, Mem Tes Tes, and Reish Vav Endanun? Now first let me tell you that this malach, his name, should not be pronounced. This is something brought up by Arizal and also mentioned in some halachas svarim, including the Kafachayim, Simin Hay, I believe it's Ois Yud. The Chayyadim in Seif Klal Hay brings this concept as well. And therefore this malach is called by his nickname Matat, which are the first three letters of his name. Who is this malach? We've never heard of him. Rabbeinu Bachya, here in the parasha, writes, Malachi Kolaymer, Malachi Hachoviv Etzli, God's beloved Malach. The Maral in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamites, explains, every Malach has only one Shlichus, and this Malach Matat, it does, in his words, Me'en Pu'ulais Hashem Yisbarach. Whatever it is the Rabbeinu Shalom has going, so to speak, this Malach is the Shliach. In a sense, when a builder builds a building, he has many workers, each one has a job, and he has a supervisor. In a very crude example, the Matat is God's supervisor. Who is this Malach? In Yevamos Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara refers to Sar Ha'olam, a Malach called the Sar of the World. And Tosfos there writes Zu Matat. It's this Malach, a Malach mentioned very often, not much is known about him by most people. Who is he? The Michtam Eliyahu in the Chilak Aleph, page 34, talks about this Malach. Most people are aware that Eliyahu HaNavi never died, and he went up to Shemayim and returned as a Malach. There's a second human being who had the same schus, the human being before Matan Torah. Chanoich was a great man, and this Chanoich too went up to Shemayim alive, and he became this Malach Matat. So I told you till now is a basic idea in Yahadus that there was such a person, Chanoich, who became a Malach Matat, a Malach HaChovit. Let me tell you a part regarding this Malach. The Mitzvah Eliyahu there brings regarding Chanoich. What was his greatness? Chanoich Tefer Min Olam Hoya. Ba'akol Tziru Tzira Hoyu Miyachid Yichudim. Chanoich had a job as a shoemaker. Every stitch that he made, he was miyached yichudim. I don't know exactly what it means, but it means something extraordinary. In his work, he did something fantastic, and that brought him to a great madrega. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is quoted in the Michtam Eliyahu as saying the following. He says, "Don't think Chanoich had kavonis el yoynis nisgavis, that his main focus was on chayche kavonis." When you're working for someone, you're not allowed to do that. And he says that Chanoich, in his work as a shoemaker, was extra careful in every stitch to do his work faithfully, to do to work and give his employer the full day's work that he was entitled to. And that was his main kavana, loy kavana shel yainis, which would distract him from his work. He did his work faithfully. This is a verse from Yisrael Salanter, printed here in the Mechtem Elio. In the Mechtem Elio, Rav Dessler had a son-in-law who should live and be well, is alive and well today, Rav Yeshua Geltzeler, Shlita, extraordinary Talmud Chacham, who lives today in Muncie. In 1952, Rav Dessler visited Rav Yeshua Geltzeler, and Rav Geltzeler complained about this verse from Yisrael Salanter, which his father-in-law brought. He said to him, how could you make Chanoich into a trustworthy employee? That was his greatness. For that he became a malach. And he complained that he brought from many places that on the contrary, Chanoich was into Seidei Selyainais. He understood Yichudim of Hashem. Why do you make him sound like an ordinary Payal Naaman? This was his question to Rav Dessler. Rav Dessler responded in a letter, which is printed, in Rav Geltzeler's Sefer, Kodshei Yeshua, at the end of Krache of the fifth volume. I saw this Sefer in the Azat, in the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, and if you can get it, it's definitely worthwhile to learn through this exchange of letters. As I understand, Rav Dessler's response is the following. Rav Yisrael Salanter was trying to teach us. There is a concept of Heiche Kavanis, of extraordinary Kavanis, high madregas that extraordinary great people could reach. But you should know one yesod, says Rav Dessler. Any Heiche Kavana, any greatness, can only come if it's tied to Kiyum HaMitzvah. You have to keep one of the Tayyag Mitzvahs, and then you can go to higher levels. He says, for example, someone who puts on tefillin with extraordinary Heiche Kavanis, but those tefillin are puzzle, will achieve zero, zilch, nothing. Heiche Kavanis must be attached to mitzvahs. And that was Rav Yisrael Salanter's focus. That Chanoich, in his first step of Avoda, made sure that whatever Kavanis he would have would not detract in any which way from his Avoda to the Ravina Shalom, from the things that he was doing in being Mekayim, the mitzvah of being a faithful employee. And Rav Yisrael Salanter is teaching us, you see a great man? You want to learn from him? Know that even in his greatness, in his extraordinary level that he had, you should know his first and foremost kavana was to be a loyal employee who did the work that he had to do the way he had to do it. Extraordinary exchange of letters, certainly an extraordinary piece of lesson. As always, I'd like to end with a kasha. And again, just a kasha which came to me as I was being Mavis Sedra. I'm sure somebody will find an answer, as you seem to every week. And this is a difficulty. Rashi, at the end of the parasha, we're talking about the end of the parasha today, is explaining the pasuk, Vayaka Moshe Yeshua Mishar Asai, Vayal Moshe Al Har Alakim. As Moshe goes up to Har Sinai, Yeshua accompanies him. Says Rashi, Omer Ani, the Talmud accompanied his Rebbe as far as he was allowed to go, till the point where they were commanded, he could no longer go forward. And from that point, so Yeshua accompanied Moshe to the last point, and after that, Moshe Rabbeinu walked levadai all alone. Sounds so beautiful. Except, if you turn back to Parshas Yisrael, Perek Yutes, Pasuk Chav Dalet, Rashi explains the Hakbala Sahar, how the mountain was divided into boundaries where different people could go up. And Rashi says, Atah Mechitza La'atzmacha, Moshe had his own boundary, Aaron Mechitza La'atzmai, Kaina Mechitza La'atzman. There was a point where all of Klal Yisrael could go up until a boundary. Beyond that, Kayin could go until a boundary. Beyond that, Aaron HaKayin could go until a boundary. And beyond that, Moshe Rabbeinu, all alone. Moshe Nigash Yosem Aaron, Aaron Yosem HaKayinim, Ba'am Kalikar Al Yehersu. I don't understand. Yeshua accompanied Moshe to the point where afterwards he went to Levadai himself. That's not true. Yeshua was Yisrael. He could go to the boundary of Klal Yisrael. Beyond that, Moshe wasn't alone. Kainim was with him. Beyond that, Moshe wasn't alone. Aaron was with him.